Good morning. Good to be here with y'all. Why don't we pray and read our Bibles together? God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good. You're kind and loving, and we see evidence of that all around us. Thank you that we can sing to you together. Thank you that we can read your word together. And now as we do that, God, I pray that you would make what we read in your word living and powerful. And that you draw our hearts to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's pick up where we left off last week. And don't worry if you were unfortunately not here last week. It'll all make sense. It'll work by itself. Go to Matthew chapter 22, verse 36. So Jesus is asked, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And then he, Jesus, said to him, the person asking him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." So the most important thing that we could do, the most important thing that we could do in our hearts as people, if we want to know God, if we want to be close to God, is to love God. That's what we're supposed, that's the thing we're supposed to do more than anything else. That's the thing, because it makes us, it leads us to fulfill and to do and to obey everything else. It's the foundation for everything. Look at, and I'm gonna say look at, and then I'm gonna start reading, and normally that'll mean a big jump across the Bible. So if you get there, cool. If not, jot it down. Either way, I have them in my notes, so I'm kind of cheating. Look at Joshua chapter 23, verse 11. "Be careful, be very careful, therefore, to love the Lord your God." Be very careful to love the Lord your God. That's not one instance where that is commanded. That is one of the many, many times when God tells his people, "Love me, love me." That is the most repeated command in the Bible. Love the Lord your God, the greatest command. God commands us. He creates us and he commands us to love him. It's the most important thing we can do. But that kind of bubbles up a problem, presents a problem for us, because how do we love God more? How do we do that? Like, we could say it's important to go to church or to congregate, to come together here. And then if I were to say that's important and we should do that more, and if I said, well, how would we do that more? Very easily, right? Like, that's an answer. That's a question that could be answered easily. It's, well, maybe I could come tonight. I came this morning. Like, more would be tonight or Wednesday or another time. It's, I know how to do that more. That's a thing I can do. But how do you love God more? We talk about how important it is without always talking about how to do it. It's easy to stand here, and I've done this many times. It's not bad, but to expound on the great advantages and virtues of loving God more, and the condemnation that comes into our lives, the separation from the destruction that comes into our lives when we don't love God, and then end by saying we should do that. But it's hard to say how to do that, because it's a concept, right? A loving God, it's intangible. It's can be kind of elusive. It's hard to know how to do it, how to do what we know is the most important thing. It's easy to talk about abstract things like that, like loving God. It's hard to know step by step, how do I love God? When we talk about the greatest commandment, we can talk about theory without knowing how to put into practice how to do it. And that can be, it should be frustrating to us, because we know it's so important, but in practical terms, how do I do that? It reminds me of, it's a long time ago. So I was working a consulting gig in Omaha at a company. I was programming stuff. And everybody on the team was brought in to do this job, and no one was put in as the leader. So I guess the leader was just supposed to kind of emerge. But in that process, there was a guy who thought he was going to be the leader. And he, at the beginning, he impressed all the people who didn't really understand code, but they were in charge of it. So they like, you know, okay. those of us who program, we know those people, and they're lovely people, but easy to impress by talking about big concepts. And, you know, we'll do this, and it'll be point to point, and this, and API was a thing, and he had all these big theories. But my personal frustration with him, this is a long time ago, I'm not confessing, I don't think, maybe it was sinful, I was really frustrated. Anyway, I don't know, I don't remember. Was because he would talk about these big theories, and he couldn't. And so I would say, okay, so how do we do that? But that's not important. That's an implementation detail, and it was. But because of that time in my life, I've grown to hate the phrase implementation detail. Of course it is. But how would we implement that? Like, what would we do to make that, and how would we do that? He couldn't say. If we were going to follow his plans, we needed to know how to do them, how to make them come to fruition. He couldn't tell us how to do it. That was frustrating. Unfortunately for him, fortunately for everybody else, he ended up having to leave the team because of that. So it all worked out. I mean, not for everyone, but in the big scheme of things. The same way we can be frustrated a little bit when we talk about from here on Sundays, big things that should inspire our hearts. I should love God more. I want to love God more. And then we leave and we say, whoa, how do I do that? What does it look like to love God more? I know it's important, but now that I'm thinking about it, I don't know how to do it, and I feel like I should, and I feel guilty now that I'm thinking about it. I feel just helpless. I need to know how to do the most important thing. So today, let's look at two big questions that together will help us learn how to. There's not a list. It's two questions, but they don't take us to a list. Do this, this, and this, and you will love God more. But they, I think, will lead us into knowing how we can pursue loving God in a very practical way. So the first question, what does it mean to love God? What is that thing that we're pursuing? What would it look like? Should love God more? Well, yeah, what is that? And thankfully, that's not too hard of a question. We know what it's like to deeply love someone, right? We've experienced it with people or even pets. I remember, this is embarrassing. I think I've said this before here, though, so it shouldn't be embarrassing. I remember the tears that ran down my face. I mean, I hid behind my parents' barn so no one would see them, but now you... Anyway, when I had to put my dog into another home, sad moment. I know how it feels, the emotion. When I see my wife getting off the airplane after she's been in Honduras for a month, and the boys and I have been here waiting for her to come back, and love is a deep emotion. And maybe when I say emotion, you say, well, it's more than that. But yes, love produces more than just feelings, right? True love produces devotion and commitment and sacrificing oneself. But in and of itself, love is a profound emotion. And I say profound because not all emotions are the same. You can watch a movie and feel a little bit of fear, or you could hear a good joke and, you know, laugh a little bit and feel a little bit of joy. You can be late to something and feel a little bit of I don't know, just that anxiousness as you're, I'm going to be late. Those are emotions, but love isn't that kind of emotion. It's a profoundly deep emotion. It's valuing deeply in our hearts and treasuring and appreciating something in a way that words can't even express. It's desiring something. It's wanting to have and to enjoy and to be with. It's something that motivates us and moves us. It's an emotion that then is seen in the way we talk and the way we dream and what we do and what we desire. We see that emotion, I think, no more clearly than in the Psalms. You could probably just throw a dart at the Psalm, which don't, that would put holes in your Bible. That's not good. You're writing your Bible, don't put holes in it. But if you were to just throw a dart at the Psalms, I think it would be very easy to just find David pouring out, King David pouring out his heart to God in the songs that he would sing to God. Look at Psalms 18, verse 1. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I'm saved from my enemies. You read that, you feel the emotion he felt, right? Go to Psalm 63, and don't worry, I know you're thinking, yeah, you could go anywhere, so how many psalms are we going to read? Just go to Psalm 63, that'll be all. Oh God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and your glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food. My mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help. And in the shadows of your wings, I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. You see what David felt? You feel the emotion in his words, his desire for God, the deep satisfaction and happiness that he felt for having God. His love is a profound emotion. That is loving God. That is what we should desire to have more of in our lives. So that takes us to our second question, right? The practical one. It's our big idea. The biggest question, the most important question that we should ask ourselves as we go through life is this. How can I love God more? How can I love God more? How can I come to be more like David, where that just flows out of me, where I feel that for God, where that consumes me? I think the answer to that question starts with this. It has to be something that we desire. We have to want to love God more. Seek and you will find. So I think we have to want. It has to become our goal. Being a Christian cannot just be a checklist of things that we do. I read my Bible today. I went to church on Sunday. If desiring God, if wanting to love God more is not our goal, then we will be content with merely doing good things. We'll serve God. We'll be religious. We'll be good people, and we won't necessarily love him. Flip over to Matthew 15, verse 8. What Jesus says about the Pharisees in his day will be true of us. In this case, this people honors me, Matthew 15, verse 8, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. We'll be good people on the outside and have hearts that are far from God. We have to want to love him. What do I want in my walk with God? What I should want is to love him more. In order to love him more, I have to want that. That desire has to be first and foremost in my heart. And then how do I go about pursuing that desire and making that happen? I want it. I'm pursuing it. I'm thinking about it. I'm saying, this is what I want. I want to love God more. How do I do that? Huge part of that, I think, the answer is spending time with God. See, I spent, and I would welcome at the end of this some verses or some emails, you know, if we don't talk in person, either way, verses of where does the Bible say how to love God more? The Bible has a lot of commands to love God. And then what we see are a bunch of examples of people who loved God, spending time with God. Spending time is being close. Spending time together is an essential part of cultivating love. And we all know that, right? If we take God out of the picture, we just put ourselves, you know, our lives, we know that. A mother who's away from their child, they know that closeness, it's just your children grow up and move away and we want them to be close to you. Because why? Because love is bred by being close together. If boyfriend and girlfriend who are separated, friends who are far apart, we long to be close together. Why? Because being together, time spent together, is essential for love to flourish. So the more time we spend with God, the more that we will come to love him. And what do we do then in that time that we are with God? Because again, that's with God. I'm using air quotes. That's an ethereal thing. That's a concept. Well, I think we can use the great command with Jesus, where we started, Matthew 22:37, as we say, okay, what do I do when I'm with God? What does it mean to seek loving God more? We love God with all of our hearts when we pursue the emotions that come from the Holy Spirit when I pursue joy and peace and patience and kindness, and I'm pursuing that, and I'm asking God for that, and that gives me unity with the Spirit, and He's filling my heart with emotions to draw me close to Him. I'm loving God with my heart. We love God with our mind when we read His Word, when we meditate on the Word, when we don't just read in the morning, and we should all read in the morning first thing, right? And then close it up and go on with our day. When we read and then we meditate, when we think on Him, when we try to figure Him and His ways out, not when we get on Facebook and argue, or YouTube and argue with people in the comments about a doctrine, but when we soak in the Word and try to understand God and His mind better. We love God with all of our mind. We love God with all of our strength. Jesus didn't say that in Matthew, but it's in the verse He quoted in Deuteronomy, right? We love God with all of our strength when we obey Him. When He says, do this, and we do it. When He says, stop doing that, and we stop. We love God with our strength when we sacrifice for Him, whether it's giving to other people, giving to the Lord's work, giving up things for Him. We love God with our strength when we work with Jesus in the kingdom, when we serve and we disciple another person, when we minister to other people. That's loving God with our strength. We love God with our soul when we sing to Him, and when we fast, when we seek deep connection with Him. There's others, so not out loud, but in your mind, what came to mind that I didn't say? Other things that we do with God when we are with Him, as we spend time with Him, that help us grow in love. And as we do that, as we do these things with God, we grow in love with Him in the same way that when you spend time with that friend and you hang out and you do things together and you work on stuff together and you help that person, you're with them, you grow in affection for that person. And I want to finish today by reading just some promises that are, they're so beautiful. They don't really fit in the message, but I couldn't not read them. So prepare to jump around. Go to 1 Corinthians 8. This is when we dedicate ourselves to loving God, when we're not content with just being good people who go to church on Sunday, we receive incredible communion with the Father. Look at these promises. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 3. But if anyone loves God, he is known by God. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that a reason to want to love God more? Knows me. James chapter 2, verse 5. Listen, my brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which He has promised to those who love Him? We love Him, and He promises us His kingdom. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of God imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. We love Him. He's prepared an incredible future for us. One more in Corinthians 16. Corinthians talks about loving God a lot, doesn't it? 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22. This is the opposite. This is not good. If anyone has no love for the Lord, let him be accursed. So what should we do? What's our application? Here is, and I struggled with this, and this has been in my mind for a long time, and especially this week, struggling with, okay, how does this become practical? How do I want it for y'all, but I want it for me. How do I love God more? And I think the best I came up with is this for our application. What we should do is we should constantly ask ourselves the question, how can I love God more? What are the things that make me love God more? And then as we figure out what those are, as we see them in our lives, we should do them. We should lean into them. We should dedicate ourselves to doing those things. So let me end by giving just a personal example. So this week, as you can imagine, I've been thinking about this. I've been thinking about that question. How can I love God more? What are the things that I do that make me draw my heart to the Lord. So personally, this is me. When I sing to God, when I sing praise to God, when I sing to God about God, I feel more love for Him. Personally, this is me. There's nothing that inspires love for God in my heart, for me personally, than singing to Him. When I pray, so I get really distracted when I have a really hard time praying. I have to have something I'm like following or thinking about as I pray. So when I pray and my prayer becomes a series of phrases to start with, you are good, you're my Father, you love me, or you do, you've done, you did this, you did this other thing, you did this thing. Wow, when my prayer becomes that, and maybe I don't even get to what I'm asking Him to do for me, that my love for God grows. I in my spirit, I'm drawn to Him. Sometimes when I work with Jesus, when I do things, when I use my gifts in the kingdom, when I study with another brother or a friend, or I help someone, I feel sometimes, not always, I wish it was always, I think it could be, it's not always, but many times I feel a special bond with the Savior. It draws me to Him. Those are some of mine. And I think the task for all of us is this: discover what ours are. What are yours? What makes you love God more? And then dedicate yourself to doing that, to doing those things. And if you're not a Christian yet, if you're listening to this, and I would beseech you. I know that's an old-timey word. I would beg you, give yourself to Jesus. Repent and be baptized, because in that moment, something incredible happens. One more verse, if you would let me. Romans 5, verse 5. Look at this snippet. Hope does not put us to shame, because, look at this, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. When you give yourself to Jesus and you repent and are baptized and you come up out of the water, you receive the love of God poured into your heart through His Spirit. And if anything can open us up to loving God, it's to being able to love God, to being able to love God more. It's receiving God's love poured out into our hearts. And so when you get to the moment and you say, I want that, I want to be God's child. I want His Spirit. I want His love poured out into my heart. Tell one of us. You can repent. You can be baptized. And now, those of us who are Christians, we're going to remember. We're going to remember Jesus on the cross. We're going to, as we take bread, and remember His body. And we take juice and remember His blood. We're going to remember that which for us opened up that door that allows us to even ask the question, how can I love God more? We know, if we're Christians, we know we love God and we want to love Him more. And we know that we can. And this is what's incredible for those of us who are Christians. We know we can because His Spirit is in us and He's given us He's poured out the love of the Father in our hearts. And so in this moment, we're going to pray together, take the bread and the cup together. We'll remember the great love of the Father. It was demonstrated in Christ on the cross for us. God, thank You. Thank You for Your love that You gave to us, that You give to us. Thank You for how that love opens up this path through which we can love You. We can be known by You. Your Spirit draws us to You. You let us love You more as we sing to You, as we read Your word, as we talk to You in prayer, as we meditate on Your word, as we serve other people, as we tell other people about You, when we proclaim the gospel to them. You let us know and love You more as we spend time with You and do these things. And that is a miracle. And that's incredible. So God, I pray that You, through Your Spirit, would guide each of us into all truth as we contemplate this week the question, how can I love You? What do I do that makes me love You more? And that You draw us, to love You more, to do those things that awaken love in our heart for You. And now, God, as we take this bread, we thank You for Jesus. Thank You for what He did on the cross. Thank You that because of Him, we can know and love You and be Your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.